talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today, the Exchange Club.
And good afternoon, Getaway Friday, Friday, March the 8th, 2019. Boy, oh boy, we're going to run down the list here again of people who are not here. Marge is still out, not feeling well. We hope to see Marge pretty soon. And Charlie, recovering from a bout of illness, and we hope to see Charlie back soon. I know Charlie is probably listening. Charlie, get well soon. We're looking forward to seeing you back here. Send me some emails this morning, so it's always good to hear from Charlie, and we'll be glad when he comes back. Now, sitting in for Charlie, oh, here we go, Charlie and Marge, is Linda Sims, Voice of the People, Monday and Tuesday, 4:10 to 5 p.m. here on WWGH Radio. And from the Marion Star, Hassan Karam joins us for the second time. We had so much fun 2 weeks ago that it's great fun inviting him back. And Brandy Downs, our regular here on Friday afternoon. We didn't have a show last week, Brandy. Did you miss it?
No, I was busy.
No, you missed it. You missed it.
I was very busy.
You missed it. Linda, it's good to see you.
It's good to be here. How
yes,
are you today?
Doing well. Wonderful. Here on this Friday. So we're just going to get into it because we have 40 minutes and a lot to cover. Oh, I do want to mention tonight at 7 o'clock at Harding, there's going to be a comedy show. The kids are putting on a comedy show. Only $3 to get in. And I talked with a person who's performing, a high school kid, John. And I think that's great. I think that's brave to get up there and do that. So even if people aren't laughing or whatever's going on, the fact that you got up and you went through it and you did it tonight, I think that's tremendous. So Harding, 7 p.m. tonight, $3 to get in, and good luck, John.
Right.
There you go. Now, I got a bone to pick, though, Linda and Brandy, because apparently last week was the Black Heritage Dinner,
yes,
and nobody tipped me off to that.
I announced it.
I must have missed it. We didn't have a brochure or anything.
There you go. Now she's got a bone to pick with you for not listening.
No, I listen. I just miss those things like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Now, April 4th is the big dedication ceremony.
I think it's going to be on the 6th.
On the 6th?
Yeah.
April 6th will be the big dedication ceremony.
Right, and we definitely want you there for that.
I could be there for that.
Yes,
it's
absolutely
a good possibility.
It's going to be a big thing.
It is. It's going
yes
to be a great thing. Now, the story I wanted to start with today, because it revolves around Ohio here. Yesterday we all learned Sherrod Brown says no dice. He's not going to run for president.
Yeah.
No. And does this shock anybody? I never really thought he was going to. Brandy, go ahead.
I thought he would run, but I'm glad he's staying here. That's fine with me.
Because you don't want him to run, or you want him to stay in Ohio?
Because I want him to stay in Ohio.
Right. Yeah. Did you really think he was going to run, though?
I thought he was. I thought, you know, once he did this big tour around, it would be so anticlimactic not to run.
Right.
Well, I think there might be some vice presidential ambitions.
Maybe.
I think that's what it is. Linda, what do you make of that?
That may be true, looking at being a vice president, but, you know, you have to be a bear to face the bear. And that's how I kind of looked at it. A lot of people shy away from that, you know, because if we remember last election, the bear just took over and put everybody down, and, you know, so.
And I don't know that Sherrod Brown can compete with the Bernie Sanders and possibly this Beto O'Rourke, who might be getting in here pretty soon, and possibly Joe Biden. So I don't know that he can compete on that level with these people at this particular point. What do you think, Hassan? Did it surprise you that he's not getting in?
Well, at first, I thought that he was going to run. I mean, we saw with John Kasich on the Republican side running last year, or not last year, but in 2016. For some reason, it feels like it's last year. It feels like the, you know,
same people.
Yeah, almost 4 years ago has been condensed into 1 year. But I thought with John Kasich, the same thing was going to happen with Sherrod Brown. He was going to run. He probably wasn't going to pull that well nationally, but he was probably going to win Ohio, which would be his base. But I'm not surprised that he is that he decided he's not going to run, just because of what's going on in the Democratic Party and the candidates that we're seeing. You know, really the best hope that Sherrod Brown was going to have realistically is that he was going to poll well in Ohio, and he was probably not going to poll well anywhere else. And we saw that with John Kasich in 2016 as well.
Well, it's interesting because the big news story in the last 2 days, Joe Biden says he's 95% sure that he is going to run. I don't think this is good. I think he's strung people too far along now, and I think that he does have a lot of things in his past that are now starting to come out, and he will be rather old. Not that that's a disqualifier, but I don't know how he stacks up in the Democratic Party of today. And remember, only Democrats vote in those primaries.
True.
You can be a centrist in the main election, which right. I think Joe Biden is, but I don't know if you can win a Democratic primary as a centrist now, as an establishment guy, which certainly Joe Biden is.
I don't see him as that, personally. He was a vice president, and he fared well in that. But being a president is a different status, and a lot goes with that. You know, you got to have the tenacity, and you got to be able to stand up against all these other oppositions. And if you're not strong in those areas, you're not going to fare well at all.
People are making such a big deal because he probably is the most well-known person on the Democratic side running. But, Brandy, do you think it's a good idea for him to get in? Or should he just take the Hillary route? I'm not going to do it, but I'm not going to shut up.
Yeah, that would be my recommendation for him, because for me personally, I feel like Joe Biden has diarrhea of the mouth. He just can't.
Right.
Filter himself, and that is not what I'm looking for in a presidential candidate. He wouldn't be my first choice.
Who's your first choice?
I'm not sure yet.
Who do you like? Didn't like Bernie. You were a Bernie girl in the 2016.
Yeah.
But now you're not feeling the burn.
No, he's not giving me what I'm looking for, so I don't know.
Did he change?
I think so a little bit. I think it might be that he's trying to play things a little close to the vest this early in the game, maybe. But I want to hear specifics. I want plans. I want policy. And every time he gets asked those questions, he says, "That's a very good question, and it deserves a good answer." And then he doesn't give one.
So who are you leaning toward?
Like I said, I don't know. My
Klobuchar?
Originally, yeah, it was Klobuchar before. I'm not sure yet. I'm going to wait and let everyone get their policies out there and that sort of thing, and then I'll decide.
Apparently she's shaky with her office staff.
Yeah, which I mean, I'm not a fan of that approach.
But you got to be tough. I talked to Mary Ellen Withrow last week, and she said she thought that her office staff thought that she was a taskmaster.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess in some ways you have to be. Being a taskmaster and being abusive, and, you know, I don't want to put somebody, if you already have problems controlling yourself in a position of power, I don't plan to give you more power.
But does anybody like the boss? Because the boss has to make the decision.
It's not about being likable, though. It's about being fair and about being a person who is in control of your own emotions.
But I don't know that she was out of control. I didn't read that she was out of control. I read that she just told people what she wanted and didn't accept less.
I read that she was throwing things, and that's a problem. If you get to the point where you're so angry that you're throwing things across the room.
As long as they're not sharp, you're okay.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Hassan, what do you think? Joe Biden, good idea, bad idea to get in?
I mean, to be honest, I think it would have been a better idea for him to run in 2015, because at that point, we were still in the Obama presidency. People knew who Joe Biden was. There was a lot of, it's kind of like, I hate to make comparisons, but if I'm going to compare it to anything, it's like Al Gore and Bill Clinton, right? People knew who Al Gore was. Bill Clinton was relatively popular at the time. Obama was, you know, relatively popular, had a higher approval rating, and he could, you know, ride that wave of success. However, it's been almost 4 years at this point. You know, the political climate in the country is pretty rocky. Even though that I believe President Obama still has a pretty high approval rating, you know, there's been 3 or 4 years of, you know, having a president that is, you know, kind of marking himself as the anti-Obama, right? And so I think that also, obviously, that resonated with some voters. So I don't know if, to be honest with you, it would have been a no-brainer in 2015, 2016 if he announced he was going to run for president. Now it seems like he kind of missed that mark.
I don't think he would have got it, though. I don't think he would have gotten it.
He's
think
not
he
Obama.
Knew it.
That's the real truth of the matter, is that if you want it, if you're a person who wants another Obama, Joe Biden is not Obama.
But I don't think he could have beat Hillary. You know, we look back on Hillary now and say, isn't she awful? But I don't think Joe Biden could have faced her on the debate stage. I don't think he could have dealt with her policy-wise.
No.
I don't think he could have dealt with her across the country. And I think it's the same thing now. Because he is an older guy, because he is the former vice president, because he does have name recognition, all this spotlight has been placed on him. Is he going to run or not? And I think when he does run, it's going to be the most anticlimactic thing.
But I mean, plus they're playing a different game, you know. I mean, true. I think Hillary Clinton had that problem too. You know, you're not, you know, I remember in 2014, 2015, the sentiment being that when we saw Hillary Clinton was most likely going to win the primary, and this was before the, you know, there was a primary, it was like, okay, Hillary Clinton is the most name brand Democrat right now, she's going to win. And this is before we had the, you know, Bernie revolution and all these things going on, you know. And then we looked at the candidates on the Republican side, and there was, you know, 13 or 14, you know, people kind of throwing their hat in the ring for that. So it seemed that with Hillary Clinton, she was, you know, poised to win that primary, but didn't realize that we're going to be playing a different game moving forward. And now the political game is going to be completely different going on. I don't think Joe Biden's, you know, prepared for that.
I don't know if I agree with that, because I think what happened with Hillary Clinton was, I think there were so few candidates on the Democratic side. I actually think Bernie Sanders was an aberration. Mm-hmm. I think you had the group that liked Hillary, and then you had the group that didn't like Hillary. I don't think they necessarily liked Bernie. I just think he was the other choice because of lack of candidates. So I think it wasn't that we love Bernie Sanders, it was that we don't want Hillary Clinton. And what you found out in the end was that more people did want Hillary Clinton in the Democratic Party, and she won by quite a few. They go back to the superdelegate thing, but the truth is she had far more votes in far more states even before the superdelegates got involved. So I think there always is going to be a faction that doesn't like the establishment person. But the problem here, there are too many Democrats this time for an establishment person to walk in and do that, I think.
Well, and also I think that, and our problem is too, is that they're, you know, they're playing the political game, you know, in, you know, 2008, you know, now it's different rules where you have, you know, social media, you have, you know, anyone can make a tweet and, you know, you can, you know, debate what facts are, you know, what's our factual reality. You know, I don't think that was something that she was, you know, necessarily prepared for in the 2015, 2016 election. I don't think that's something that, you know, Joe Biden would be prepared for, because, you know, he's going to, you know, be, if he runs, and we'll say he wins the primary, he's going to be running against, you know, Trump. So he's going to have to play that game, you know.
Well, here's a local story this week to get out of that political realm.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. And correct me if I'm wrong in any of this, but there was an advisor at Harding High School, who was in his 20s, who was paid in the fall to be an advisor to the color guard, mm-hmm. my understanding. And he did stay on unpaid as an advisor or helping out with the color guard or something of that nature. Well, apparently found out that he sent nude pics to somebody from a different school, but an underage person, is my understanding. So Harding has let him go from that volunteer position. And what I don't understand about this whole thing is, why do people send nude pictures? This can't have a good ending. I mean, honest to God, what is wrong with people?
That's funny.
I mean, is it? I mean, Linda.
I feel you on that. You're absolutely right.
In social media, why would you ever text somebody a nude picture of yourself? It's wrong, I mean, especially underage. I mean, that's criminal.
That's an advertisement, though.
Yeah, but what are you selling?
Themselves.
I guess. I don't know. That's nuts. Because, you know, anything on social media can be hacked. Anything on social media can be around forever. Why would you do that? Why would you? It's just dumb. Dumb, 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 dumb.
Attention?
Maybe. Bad attention now.
Yeah.
Now he's had to be brought in by the police and a whole bit.
People do it all the time in all different sorts of situations, which is a whole discussion.
So.
Yeah, not me. There seems to be, you know, all the time a new story about somebody sending nudes somewhere. But I think in the specific situation of an adult sending pictures to a minor, that there is a certain expectation that they won't tell because they're too scared, that somehow that will not get out. I think that's the mindset, but I don't know, because I'm not a sexual predator.
Well, is that what that is? I don't know. I guess we have to say. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening to your story on the pictures being sent. It is surprising to you. We just recently lost a guy for the same similar act of pornography on the computers, and I can't believe in this day and ages that we're all brought up that, you know, you be tracked so much. This person not only used a company computer, a company LAN, and a company cell phone, and it just blows you away that somebody who's well in their upper 40s wouldn't have the brains to realize that you're going to get caught, you know. And it just, I was just listening to that, and it surprises me how people don't realize how everybody can be tracked these days.
I think you're right. Hey, thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
740-383-9944 if you want to weigh in on any of this. But I don't even understand when girlfriend and boyfriend who are of age, husband and wife, I don't understand why you would do it. Why do you send them in a text message? Why do you send them on Facebook? That is bad. If those fall into the wrong hands, you are really in trouble. I mean, what is this, Hassan? Is this a new thing that maybe people in their 20s are doing? I don't know.
I'm the last person to ask about this. I have no idea. I mean, it's been a thing. It was a thing when I was in high school.
It is a thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't a thing when I was in high school.
It was.
Well, that's because we are old and we were in high school before there was texting. Right, yeah.
Right. Back in the good old days when you could keep things.
But there were kids when I was in high school sending nudes over the internet. Definitely that happened. Chat rooms, really? They were huge when we were in high school. That definitely happened, yeah.
I didn't travel in those circles. No, I don't understand. Why would you ever take a nude picture? I mean, if you want to be nude, I guess that's fine. But why would you ever take a picture and send it?
I have no idea. Like I said,
I just, well, you
I
know.
Think people, it feels private because you're in your own space, but it's and, definitely not private.
I mean, you for, and a billion other people on
yeah,
the internet.
Exactly.
For some people, like, they that's like the final stage of flirting for them, you know.
Ooh.
Yeah, like, and I never yeah, like, I never got that either. Yeah,
like that's the final stage of flirting
for them.
What's the early stages of flirting for that?
I think that's more the beginning.
Yeah,
that's the beginning.
That's the beginning.
For some of them.
Dear God, I see. This is why. I don't know. It used to be taboo to meet people off the internet because of things like this. I just heard a story the other day about somebody who was photoshopping and taking all their blemishes out and, you know, doing whatever they're doing. And when the person met them at the restaurant, it wasn't the same person. You can't do that. You've got to not do that. It's just bad news. It's trouble. Brandy, you'll give me the evil eye on this one.
I'm not giving you the evil eye. It's just, I mean, I met my husband on the internet.
You met your husband on the internet,
so.
And I don't condemn it, but
like
you
that.
Certainly.
No, not
you didn't
like
do
that.
It like that.
No. And he sent me the most ridiculous picture of him the first time he ever sent a picture. It was like, you know, the most awful picture possible because he wanted to make sure I saw him at his worst.
Now, did you send a good picture of yourself?
I honestly do not remember what. I'm sure that I sent him a picture, but, I mean, I was 21 at the time. I didn't have any bad pictures. I was 21, you know? You're all cute at 21.
We all look good at 21.
Yeah.
I did not look good at 21.
You didn't look... Hassan did not look good at 21. Now, moving away from that ridiculous story to a story that's kind of strange. Apparently, there are news networks and news stations that kill stories that are detrimental to certain candidates, and I'm trying to do this without saying the network or the candidate, because I really don't think that's the story. That can be the story if people want it to be, but I think this goes on other places. I think that stories are killed. I know stories have been killed around for advertising purposes. That if it's a bad story about an advertiser, if somebody's paying you big bucks, you don't put that story through. So did this shock anybody? They acted like this was such big news that a negative story would be killed. Didn't surprise me, Hassan. Did it surprise you?
I mean, I don't know which story you're talking about, to be honest.
I'll whisper it to you.
Okay.
Later on.
All right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the fact that news organizations do that, it is concerning, but it does happen. And I think that the reason why people are shocked is because we have an expectation with the media that they're going to cover and they're going to tell us the full truth. And for the most part, you know, in local markets and other media outlets, they do that, you know, but there's always, it just depends on the certain media outlet as well. And when we find out that, you know, high profile media networks are doing that, it betrays that trust that you have. Because the thing is, you know, I want them to tell me the truth, and, you know, I don't want them to, you know, I want them to, if they're going to report an X story or a bad story about this candidate, they need to, you know, do the other side as well.
But what if there are no bad stories about the other candidate? See, that's where I think there's a problem, because I think you run a bad story about somebody, this whole idea of balance, I think, has gotten way out of control.
Well, can I clarify, though? I didn't mean that if you're going to run a bad story about someone, you have to find another bad story about the opposite candidate. I'm just saying if you have two candidates and you found two bad stories about those candidates and you run one and they're equally as bad and you don't run the other, I think that's the problem.
Right.
Now, obviously, you know, in reality, and we see it in the news industry all the time, you know, there might not be a bad story about another candidate, right? And that's why I wanted to clarify. It's not a balance thing. It's more of, if you have two bad stories and you suppress one for political gain, that's...
What has bothered me being in the media is when the other campaign gives you the story. And this has happened more than once. Even if it's true, I think there's something wrong with that, because there was clearly a premeditated idea in giving you that story in hopes that you would run it and that it is negative. Now, at the end, you have to decide, well, is it a true story? Well, maybe it is a true story, but... boy, you know they're not doing it just to inform you. They're doing it to hurt the other person.
Well, that may be true, but, you know, when I look at the last election, our president today, he didn't hide anything about himself, whether it was good or bad, and he really didn't care. But when it came down to someone else saying something about, oh, that's fake news, you can't believe that, you know, and his followers, most of them didn't believe it. They just dismissed it. You know, well, we didn't vote for him to because of what he did, what he's going to do now. That's why we voted for him.
I hear that a lot. I hear that people who voted for him say they don't agree with everything he did.
Right.
And, you know, he was who he was.
That's right.
I mean,
he
I have to say
it.
This.
He
I mean,
did
who
not hide
he did
it.
Not hide it.
No,
he was
he
not a
not.
Phony candidate at all. No.
Not at all.
Well, go ahead, Brandy.
No, I think on the subject of, you know, one political side bringing a story to the media, obviously, you know, the media has to be careful about that. There are motivations. But at the same time, if one side finds out something about the other, that is important for the public to know.
Yes, it is.
Where else are they going to go besides the media?
But here's the problem. I remember years ago in a mayoral election, somebody called me on the phone, and I knew it was from the opposing campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And they called and talked about an outside the marriage event that happened with that particular candidate.
Oh, wow.
Now, to me, that's kind of sleazy news.
Yes.
I don't think that's public consumption news. And I don't know if they did it or not. And
right.
Certainly they weren't going to tell me if they did it if I went up and asked them.
Right.
So, I knew what the motivation was. This person was losing. They wanted at least to get that out there. They
mm-hmm.
wanted people to think. They wanted people to associate. I don't know that being a... I mean, as a human being, you should probably be faithful. But Bill Clinton, FDR, by the way, the person the breakfast is named after tomorrow,
right.
He had more than a few extracurricular activities. John Kennedy.
And that would be the sort of thing that I would say is important for the public to know. You
but
know,
people
but,
like to
but
run that
But if there
stuff.
Are other things, yeah. if there are real issues of fraud or corruption or things like that, then the public does need to know those things. And if it comes from the opposing political side, well... You know, it needs to be vetted, but it does need to be out there if it's true.
Yeah, because your character is everything, and that's what that is really talking about, a person's character.
I think character is right, but I also
yeah.
think, do you remember Obama? Do you remember, he associated with Bill Ayers. He associated
yes.
with Reverend Wright. Well, it wasn't even just him. It was the people he associated with. In
right.
that same election, John McCain, the people he'd been involved with in the Keating Five. And
right.
I kept thinking to myself, my head's going to explode, because I don't know that just because you associate with somebody who has a past means that you are an awful person. And see, those stories, That's a little shaky to me. That's just like affairs. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I add something too?
Go ahead.
You know, and I think, you know, Brandy said this as well. It's up to the journalists, individual journalists and media sites to vet those sources, right? So we get like a tip from the like opposing, you know, side or opposing campaign. We know what's going on. You know, we're not stupid. We understand what's happening. We understand what their motive is. But if there is something there, we're not just going to run at face value. You know, you vet the story, you see if there's, you know, some credibility there, and then you move forward, you know, and obviously that doesn't happen all the time, and we see that.
But usually when you come to stories that have to do with the candidate, those are a lot of times public consumption. I can't think of a candidate locally or nationally where it didn't have to be put out by the other side. There's a difference between a smear and a news story. And I think a lot of these things that are brought up by the other side are smears, because they're giving them to you because they obviously think you aren't going to get them. Well, why aren't you going to get them? Well, because they have to deal with their personal life. They have to deal with people who surround them. What did Reverend Wright have to do with President Obama? What did Bill Ayers have to do with President Obama? That was a smear. It was an absolute smear. And the media would have never picked up on that because they had dinner and so on and so forth. But because the other side planted that noodle,
oh yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, you're guilty by association. Mm-hmm. I think we have to look at what a news story is.
Sure.
And motivation is important. Now, if you find out the person's stealing $10,000 from the city or the county, well, yeah.
Right.
But hopefully you know that before the other side tips you off that they're doing it. So I don't know. I think that's an interesting line. But I do think it's interesting that the opposite party is pulling their debates from this station. And I think that's a bad move because everybody at that station is not corrupt, you know. And that's not going to go over well because now that station's going to say, well, you're not going to have equal time. And now the other side's going to say, well, we're not going to go on your bias stations.
Right.
So I think that's a bad move. What do you think, Hassan?
I mean, I agree. And I think I know what you're talking about now.
Oh, you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I was kind of blindsided, but now I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I think it can be a potentially bad move because that's the thing is you want to get your message out there any platform that you can. And I understand, you know, why the opposite side would be like, well, I don't want to be on this platform. They're going to limit and stuff like that. But if it's a live debate, you know, you might as well use that tool
use
to
it
get
to your
message
advantage.
Out. Yeah.
Yep. Now, we're going to move on to the more fluffy stuff this week. And we've got to talk about this because I tell you, when this story came across the news the other day, I couldn't believe it because you want to talk about tying more perfectly into shows we have done in the last month. Well, number one, we all know that Monday is the end of The Bachelor, right? That's a big deal.
Oh, no.
I know. I know. We're all glued to that one. We're all glued to that one. No, but here's the story I saw. Couldn't have been more perfect because we have talked about this Virgin Bachelor.
Oh, no.
Many No.
Is it the fence jumping?
I know that.
No, that's also that's interesting. No, but the story I saw. Did you watch The Bachelor?
No, I saw something on Twitter about him.
No, because these were two separate stories on this show. We did the show about, is this Bachelor really nude or nude? Is he really a virgin?
Right.
Or he's been nude, I think, too. But is he really a virgin? And we had that discussion one week, and obviously not. Now, Brandy believes he is, I think. You said that, didn't you?
I said I'm going to take him at face value because I...
Linda,
why
do you believe his 26-year-old athlete's a virgin?
It's possible.
It's possible, but would you go on a show called The Bachelor with 16 women who are after everything on network television if this is really the idea?
You know, I think it should be the idea. I really do. And I think that people sell themselves short by jumping into sexual relationships before they know one another. So it's about time that we had something like this, I think.
But I think it's phony.
You
but
don't
here's
think it's
we,
real?
We No. Not at all.
We've been arguing about this.
No, but
for
so
weeks,
we did that story. But so we did that story.
Yes.
Or see, don't roll your eyes. We did that story, and then we did a completely separate story about is asking for hand in marriage an old-fashioned thing to do. And Brandy and I about came to blows during that show.
Wait, I was there for that one.
You were there for that one? No, that was the week before. That
no,
was
I,
week
I, think,
was
I think
Brandy.
We talked about it.
We talked about
it.
Again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, here's the beautiful thing. I'm watching a television show, and this virgin bachelor, oh, God, but still my heart, he goes to three women's father, and he asks for their hand in marriage.
Wow.
He did. He asked for their
don't
hand
marry
in marriage.
Him. Run away.
He
run
hasn't
away.
Even been. Apparently, he's a virgin, and there's three of them. If you're the father, what are you thinking? So anyway, he goes to the one father. This is the clip I saw. He goes to the one father, and the father said, "No." He said, "You've got three other women here. Why would I give you my daughter's hand in marriage?" This is the dumbest show in the history of the world.
Wow.
But
speak for yourself, Scott.
You know, what do you think? Do you
watch
think?
The Bachelor?
I dabble.
He dabbles in the Bachelor.
I'm joking.
Oh my god!
No, I. It's one of those things where I'm flipping through, because I don't have cable, so I have, like, you know, basic. So when I'm flipping through the channels, like, if it's on, I'll, like, sometimes indulge. Another one's Big Brother, you
but
know?
But no, you tell me, though. Do you really believe that this virgin bachelor, 26-year-old athlete, that this, excuse me, can I have your daughter's hand in marriage?
I mean, like I said, I don't know the guy. I
know the guy either.
I dabble. I watch clips
this.
Sometimes. I don't know what the whole deal is. I don't even know what his name is.
When is the
Colton.
Last time?
His
Colton?
Name is Colton.
Exactly. And you know what? We all know this now. Mm-hmm. And I don't. I've never seen an episode in the 100 years this show's been on the air. But I do know his name this time. I do know that he's a virgin. They are playing a lot of clips of this show, and that's why I think this is all a ratings ploy.
Well, I would not know if it weren't for you, Scott. So
I mean that's true. I'm in the same boat here. Like I wouldn't know either.
You've never seen these clips?
I have not seen these clips. Like I said,
you saw the clip of him jumping over the fence.
No, I only heard that he did jump over a fence. I didn't see a clip at all.
The talk was around.
I just flip you know through the channel and see what's going on. But I guess one thing I will say is, yeah, I mean, it probably is, you know, producers can come up with the script. I mean, we see that in reality television all the time. It's obviously, it is scripted. Reality television,
for the most part,
is scripted. You know, they are testing what audiences want to see. So that could be, you know, a concept that they added. And then the producer's like, hey, we're going to have the segue where he, you know, asks for the father's hand in marriage. Because it seems like he's supposed to be the traditional guy who's a virgin. He's 26. You know, this is supposed to be the love of his life. So, I mean, three loves of his life.
That's
wow.
The thing that puzzles me. I think Shriverly is not dead, and I think that was very admirable of him to go to that woman's father. But
that's what
if
I
there's
think,
two
Linda.
Other
I
more,
disagree.
Then if there's two or three other more, then I think that he should wait until he decides
which one.
That's completely disingenuous,
with.
Right? To go to a father and say, may I have your daughter's hand in marriage when you've got other women waiting in the wings?
But you say going to the father altogether
is
wrong.
Yeah, I don't like that. I wouldn't marry a man if he went to my parents and asked if he could marry
I would want to
me.
Know their
there
opinion
you go.
Of
mm-hmm.
this
I
person.
Think so, too.
Yes, yes.
Because you've got to get all the bad feeling out of the water before you go into marriage.
But there are other ways to do it.
Like this guy knows now, this bachelor, he knows that this girl's father already thinks he's a little shady.
Right.
So even if they get married, there's going to be an undercurrent.
None of them should get married. Yes. That is an awful decision.
Isn't that what the show's about, getting married?
Here's the thing. We should be watching Big Brother. I watched like an episode of that show. It was crazy.
Oh, what is wrong with those people on that show?
It was like the concept of the show was like they're in the internet, but it's not like the modern day internet. It's like the early 2000s, the web. It was fantastic, I'll tell you, Scott.
Nobody's saying, because you talked about this jumping over the fence. Now, I did see that clip as well, and that was because he was angry.
Uh-huh.
Because the girl turned him down. Oh,
good
dear
for
God.
Her.
No, and he got mad.
Wow.
All
yeah.
for a reason that she
now,
should
he
be
had,
mad.
He, no, honest to God. He had all these candles lit. And apparently this was going to be the big 26-year-old thingy-majig on television.
Right.
And she said no. And he went and jumped over a fence.
Well, they got to keep ratings up somehow. You know.
So you think
concepts.
That was total stage?
I don't know. I didn't see it. You know, but I wouldn't put it past reality television. I mean, I don't know, Linda. What's your opinion on reality television? Do you watch a lot of reality television? Or?
No.
This is reality television right here. This is reality.
I watch a lot of movies.
What kind of movies do you watch?
In church. I guess more love movies.
And in those movies,
know,
the girl
church
always goes to the father, and they
for
get
Pete's
for
sake.
Oh yeah, yeah.
No, that happens.
It's
I've seen those movies.
You
it's
know.
Sentimental.
Yeah,
don't you watch those movies, Brandy?
Yeah.
No.
It started when you hated every Christmas movie ever made last Christmas, and then it went into
that's fake news. Yeah. We've been over this. That is she fake did. News.
You know
no.
what movie I've been watching?
What's
the,
that?
The old school Bride of Frankenstein.
I like that movie too.
Yeah,
that's a good movie.
But yep. I guess
Frankenstein went and asked for the hand in marriage.
That was gonna be my segue. Did he ask Dr. Frankenstein? You know,
yes, had to happen. Because if you, if the
thing, form of respect also
form of
for
respect
the woman,
it,
for the yes. woman.
No, it's a form of respect for the father, and he does not own the woman. Well, that is my argument.
There's not a charge, is there? I mean, he doesn't give her a receipt or anything, does he?
Look, I'm just telling you where this tradition came from was an icky place, and we don't need to keep continuing it. That's it.
Well, I think that's my personal argument. I think that's personal.
I think I would have to agree.
It's more personal.
Of course, it's personal. Yeah.
If you were going to marry somebody, Hassan, if you were going to be married, would you go and ask for the hand in marriage?
Only if the person I was proposing to wanted me to do it. So, like,
what would you want to do though?
Honestly, I don't really care.
But by the time you ask them, isn't that too late? Well, isn't the whole point you've got to ask them if you can ask them?
Well, I guess like my generation, or I guess my interpretation of like dating and marriage is that, you know, because some of my friends that got married, you know, they talked to their bride to be or husband to be beforehand. They had these conversations, you know, we're going to get married, and they knew they're going to get married. They didn't know when the proposal was going to happen, but they knew and they talked about it. You know, would you want me to ask this person? Would you want me to ask your dad or talk to your parents first?
Well, they ask that.
Yeah. I mean, people have those conversations. It's not like commonplace, but people, you know, I know some people that have those conversations. For me personally, I don't have a plan of, like, if I'm going to marry someone, I have to ask the father for marriage. But if my significant other wanted me to, I'd be like, okay.
You wouldn't have a problem with it. There you go.
Good. I mean, if they had a problem with it, I would have a problem with
it. Now, my children would have a problem if I went off and got married and didn't even say anything to them at all.
Now, see, there you go.
There's a difference between letting your family know that this is the direction in which your relationship is headed and a person going to the father. It's almost always the father of the bride and saying, may I ask her permission? She's an adult woman. You don't need anyone else's permission to ask her to marry you. Just do it.
It's not legal and binding.
It's just a blessing.
No,
it's just a consideration.
But if you're going to her father before you ever go to her, then you're not respecting her. You're respecting her father. There's a difference.
Well, I would have a problem with that. If they haven't asked me first, I would have a problem with that.
There you go.
They better not ask me first.
Well, because, listen, if you don't like somebody,
I mean,
that's your chance
to
point it out,
isn't
it?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They should go to you and ask first.
Yeah.
Not everything is storybooked.
No.
I mean, how many people have gotten married, and when they tell you they're going to marry that person, you think, you know, that's not a good idea. That's not
true,
a good idea.
True.
And
but
that's a chance.
By the time that you get to that point, I think your friends and families have probably already given you the opinion on how they feel about the person. Unless it's a whirlwind romance and you go to Vegas and get hitched 2 weeks later, I mean, most of the time you know whether or not your parents, your siblings, your children, whomever, likes your significant other. If you don't already know by that point, you guys have not done the work to have a solid foundation for this relationship.
But shouldn't you find out? I mean, because that's also
a point.
Why
wouldn't you already know?
Because that's also a point where you can maybe work that problem out. You can say,
not when you're already planning to get married.
I think other people see things that we don't see.
Right. And when you
of
go
course.
To the father and you say, can I marry your daughter, which is usually what it is. It can go the other way, I guess, but that's what happens. And that the father can say in a private conversation without the daughter present, listen, you know, I worry about you two getting married because maybe you're not financially stable.
Right.
Maybe, you know, I don't think you talk to her the nicest. I've been bothered by this. A conversation you wouldn't have if your daughter's in the room.
Why wouldn't you have that conversation with the father at some other time? Why is it in the context of getting permission to do something for another adult?
But see,
that does not make any sense to me.
But
if you want to have a conversation and see whether or not you think that somebody's father thinks you're marriage material, have the conversation, but don't put it in the context of you own her heart, I need to ask your permission first.
Go ahead, Hassan.
Oh, I was just going to say, one thing, I guess, is, you know, also I feel like it could be a generational thing, or it could just be an individual thing as well, because for most of the people I know that are in committed relationships and they plan on getting married to the person they're currently dating, they've been in those relationships for 4 or 5 years. They lived with that person for right. 2 or 3 years. So I think maybe, you know, back in the day where, you know, it was more conservative society and we had this, you know, precedent that, you know, you're going to ask father's hand in marriage and you probably were dating this person for a couple months or a year or, you know, vice versa. I think now it's different because you're living with that person for 4 or 5 years. And there's some cases where people get married like after dating for 6 months, you know, so I'm not saying that doesn't happen.
But there is this thing that if you are seeing somebody, most of the time you're around their family, you're in the room with the person, you know, you're in the room with the person you're dating. And a lot of times the father or the mother are not going to speak up when their daughter is around because they know their daughter likes that person. And that's just going to cause a fight in the room. Oh, how many families break up before the wedding, or get angry, or throw things, or the invitations don't go out.
To the,
I sent an invitation to a wedding, and it just.
You sent a card. Yeah.
19 years later, it's still a problem.
If my mom had concerns about my significant other, and this is true, this happened when my mom had concerns about somebody that I was dating. She didn't go to the person I was dating to express those concerns. She comes to me.
You're right.
So why does the other person need to go to her and say...
Because maybe you didn't listen.
I know I have.
Well, then I'm not going to listen after she talks to the other person either.
You might not, but that might make them think twice about it because they've got to be spending the next few years with this person.
Right. And I have done that.
There you go.
My daughters are concerned because my last two daughters, they're... father's deceased, and my older two daughters, their father's alive, but he's miles and miles away, and I'm just the person here for them. And I have, if there was something I didn't like or went too far, yes, I have gone to that person.
You should speak.
I did not go through them, my daughters. See, I really didn't care.
Didn't go through the daughters, and that's right.
Well, and that's fine if you want to go to the person.
Well, I intend to.
That's right. And that's the way it's got to be, Hassan.
If they're the one that has
overstepped
the line.
Yeah, I
Because the person that likes you will defend you to their parents. They're comfortable to yell back at their parents. Now, you might not be so comfortable to yell at their parents. So once you take them out of the equation, you can have a real conversation with these people who you may be spending the next 30 years with.
Or to be fair, they just say, I don't like you, and they start yelling at you. And you're saying, well, that's too true.
But then you know what you're getting into.
Yeah.
You say, I'm out of here.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, I love like your son or your daughter, and I'm going to power through it. And it's just
but that never turns out bad. Romeo and Juliet, all those Shakespeare plays, it never ends well.
But that my point is not that there shouldn't be conversations. My point is that there shouldn't be conversations in the context of getting permission. Like Hassan said, I think that this is a tradition that stems from long ago when a father was, you know, a woman was a possession, basically. And it had to be transferred. And I'm not saying that's what it is today.
Right.
But that's where it comes from. And so I just think we should get rid of those traditions that are steeped in ownership of another person, regardless.
But over time, it's just turned into a way to maybe do away with any bad feelings or learn any concerns before the wedding.
But we can do that in other ways. We don't need to put it in the context of getting permission.
You know what it is? The truth of the matter is the same reason a father gives the daughter away at the wedding. The father raises the daughter. The father feels very protective of the daughter, I think more than a son. And this is his, because usually people get married younger. And when people are 18 to 25 years old, the father, he is no longer the most important man in the girl's life. And he has to give up taking care of her. He has to give up being the big man in her life. And that's tough sometimes for the father because they're very protective. You don't hear the mother say, I'm going to go beat up that boy. But I'll tell you,
you do. You don't know the mothers I do.
Well,
We're called mama bears for a reason,
Right, but the father will not even wait for the light to turn. And he will go and knock the guy's block off.
Yes.
And that'll be the end of it because he is very protective. And women, it's just a physical thing. You know, you don't want to be going, no,
there is no reason for a man to be more protective of his daughter than he is of his sons. That's ludicrous to me.
But haven't you heard? I mean, we've got... But I think it goes the other way, too. I think mothers are more protective of their sons.
No.
I think it's more like this. A father, like you said, have raised his daughter, brought her into the world and have raised her, and he really wants the best for her. You know, and it's like, okay, I'm giving you my best. This is what I have raised, and this is how I have reared her to be a good woman and a good wife, and I want her to have to receive the same. So he's saying, yes, you have my blessing. Here's my daughter.
That's it.
But hasn't her mother also raised her?
Well, the mother can be
the best. And, but that's what I'm saying. Why is it the father that gives her
away?
But
fathers are more closer to their daughters
than the mother. Right. I think that's right. I think that's true. Yeah, you don't. What do you think, a son? Father's closer to daughters?
And I mean, I guess it depends on the relationship.
I guess it depends, really. You know?
In a traditional family where everybody's still intact, don't you think that the father is more protective of the daughter, and usually the mother's more protective of the son? I don't know why that is.
I guess, like, if we're like looking at, like, you know, like traditional tropes in, like, American society, you know, maybe. But if you go to different cultures, you know, you see that the roles are reversed. But I mean, yeah, I could say that, you know, if we're, you know, looking at like the 1950s, 1960s, what, you know, the pop culture representation of American culture is, yeah, that, you know, the mama's boy, right? Or like daddy's girl or things like that, you know? But I think right now, I guess I'll play devil's advocate in the sense that I agree with Scott and I also agree with Brandy in the fact that, you know, traditions are there. You know, you can follow those traditions if you want, but also traditions are meant to be broken. You know?
I don't think you should take it personally. I'm just saying, if somebody wants to do it, let them do it. I don't think it's. I agree with that.
But I don't think someone should be forced to. If they don't want to do it, then that's a conversation they can have, and they can go.
But the point of this story is that this is an old-fashioned custom and should just be done away with totally. And I don't think that's true. I mean, if the father's dead, hey, free pass. But I think.
But then, a woman has brothers.
Oh, yeah, and get one of them angry with
you. And I've seen men go to them and say, well, you know,
called that night? When I sent the card that was totally appropriate, by the way, who called me the night of the wedding? Her father. Her father.
You go ahead and ask
not her mother,
my kids.
Not her mother.
You go ahead and ask my kids who is more likely to come out swinging if somebody comes after them. Is it mom or dad? And they'll tell you it's mom.
So you're going to swing. You're a scrapper.
If you come after
person.
My kids,
watch out,
I will unleash the mama bear for sure.
Yes, well, yes, absolutely. I'm not saying that women cannot defend like men can. All I'm saying is I have experienced this with a father saying he's going to do something or another. I couldn't understand him. He was yelling so loud.
What'd you do?
This is a whole thing.
It's been a long-term thing.
Tell you about it off the air.
Yeah, tell you about it off the air, because we want one more story in today. And see, this is one of those occasions where you should have asked the father. Yeah. A guy and a girl were dating. Oh, I love this story. This is so brilliant. A guy and a girl were dating, and apparently they were not living together. And one day the girl took her makeup off, and the guy dumped her for that reason. She took the makeup off. Now, that's normal?
No, that's not normal. That's weird. That's true. That's my face. It's like, that's a weird...
No, that was like the face of, oh, yeah, I can see that.
No, that's the face of like, okay, what?
No, she took the makeup off, and I guess she had, you know, acne, and everybody's got blemishes, but the girl took the makeup off and showed her real self, and the guy said, ooh, no.
That's,
wow.
Yeah,
see, those are the type of people that a father would spot.
Yes,
say
that's
that,
true.
That
that's
type
true.
Of guy
yeah.
has to go.
That's true.
Right, Brandy?
I would disagree.
You're darned
that.
If you do, you're darned if you don't. Yeah.
You think,
a woman.
But that's how people act in 2019. You take your makeup off, and that is the whole end of the whole relationship.
Well, that's not fair.
Or gain 5 pounds. It's over.
It's over.
I know plenty of people who have taken makeup off, and they're still in relationships.
Shave your head. It's over. Yeah.
Shave your head. Do whatever you got to do. Bad
shave,
haircut.
It's over.
The whole thing. It's all
it's
a mess.
Over, you know.
Yeah, the problem is people are just too controlling, you know?
People
yeah.
are just too sensitive, is what
yes,
I think it
are.
Is. Who
Very
cares?
Sensitive.
Don't wear makeup in the first place and you won't have this problem.
That's true.
Or just let people wear makeup if that's what they want to
right.
do and
right.
not wear makeup if that's what they want to do because it's their body.
Yeah, but if you get dropped in the end, you can't complain.
Well,
does that mean they didn't love me? Right. Does that mean they didn't love me in the first place?
Yes.
I mean, honestly,
love is only skin deep.
It could be a blessing in disguise, right? Because if someone's going to
why
dump
do blessings
you...
always wear disguises? I always wonder that.
But the thing is, that. Like, if we're gonna dump someone over a very superficial reason, then you probably shouldn't be in a relationship with that person. And, you know, it's probably that.
I'm just so sad we didn't get to talk about Taylor Swift coming out politically. Oh, jeez. We'll have to save that for next week.
I'll end this with a note. You know, just let people live their life. You know, if they want to spend $40 at White Castle, you know, let them do that.
Oh, we didn't even get to that. I'm so sorry. Hassan will have to.
If they
want to,
you know, spend the Friday evening, you know, playing with Legos and watching a, you know, Bride of Frankenstein, you know, let them live their life, Scott. You know, who are you to judge
here,
me?
Here, we're going to. Listen, maybe you'll get a blessing in disguise. Just watch out. You'll never see it coming. The ending of this program today is a blessing in disguise. No, this has been fun. This Linda Sims and Hassan Karam joining us today. Linda's show every Monday and Tuesday, 4:10 to 5 p.m., right here on WWGH Radio. Hassan, always in the Marion Star. Great, great stories over there. And Brandy here every Friday. And Charlie, get well soon. And Marge, get well soon. And we'll see what happens. Now, the Charlie Evers Show is coming up in 10 minutes with guest host Nate Redman. So stay tuned. Mention of political memorabilia?
Yes, I did know that. But do you know what is most prized political?